Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, November 14th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
Stocks around the world are lower following a record string of losses for oil.
Italian bonds fall as the populist government calls the EU's bluff.
The pound trims gains as Theresa May brings a Brexit deal to her cabinet.
First Lady Melania Trump is demanding the ouster of the top deputy of the National Security Advisor, plus the death toll from wildfires continues to climb in Northern California. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Home wins for the Devils and Islanders, and better news than expected on the injury to the Nets' leading scorer, Caris LeVert.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by PGIM. In the search for Alpha, partner with PGIM, the global investment management businesses of Prudential Financial Inc.
U.S. futures are following European stocks lower as investors weigh the rout in oil prices. 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 9 points, Dow futures down 67, NASDAQ futures down 51. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. The Nikkei 225 in Japan gained about 0.2%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 3.13%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.89%. COMEX gold is down 0.25% or $3 to $1,198.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.1270. The yen, 113.89. And this update brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing, providing the latest thought leadership with strategic and actionable insights to help you manage and grow your business. Visit the perspective section of Pershing.com to learn more. Nathan.
Karen, oil prices are gaining for the first time in 13 sessions. Still, crude's record losing streak is weighing on market sentiment. Bloomberg's Jessica Summers reports.
A lot is behind this breakdown in the crude market. Even though over the weekend, OPEC signaled it sees the need to reduce production once again, there are question marks around whether Russia will agree to join in. Demand is another problem. OPEC published a pretty bleak forecast for 2019 consumption. And aside from the fundamentals, we are seeing some technical selling as well. In New York, I'm Jessica Summers, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Jessica. Now the International Energy Agency says crude inventories are set to jump by 2 million barrels a day if current output is maintained. Checking oil now, it is rebounding. Brent crude up 1.6% or $1.07 to $66.53 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate up 1%, 58 cents. It's now trading at $56.27, Karen.
In Asia today, stocks fell for a fourth session despite strength in Japan. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has details from Singapore.
The TOPIX closed higher by 0.2% in Tokyo on the back of a weaker yen, despite data showing a bigger-than-forecast contraction in third-quarter economic growth. Most analysts predict a rebound, though, in the fourth quarter, with the latest data skewed by a spate of natural disasters in Japan. Chinese shares halted a two-day advance on a mixed data dump, which showed retail sales slowed in October while industrial output and business investment picked up. Most Asian airlines and power producers rose, along with Indian fuel refiners, due to the collapse in crude oil prices, while Australian energy stocks took a beating. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, Juliet. While stocks in Europe are falling, automakers are outperforming. That's as sources tell Bloomberg. Car tariffs from the White House are on hold for the moment. Bloomberg's Justina Lee has more.
The Trump administration will hold off for now imposing new tariffs on auto imports because officials are still looking at possible revisions to a report on the national security implications. So it seems like something the industry has been really worried about all year long, at least will not happen for now.
Well, President Trump has threatened levies as high as 25% on foreign cars. And while those tariffs could still come, sources say the administration isn't ready to act just yet.
The euro area economy grew 0.2% in the third quarter, but in Germany, the economy shrank for the first time since 2015. The 0.2% contraction was worse than expected and the biggest in more than 5 years. Bloomberg senior euro area economist David Powell.
The press statement from the statistics agency saying it was largely because of net exports. That would be foreigners having bought fewer cars. But there could have also been some broader weakness from abroad as, for example, in China, they deal with the trade war.
Still, Bundesbank expects a rebound in German growth for the fourth quarter.
Meanwhile, in Italy, bonds are falling as the populist government calls the bluff of EU enforcers. Bloomberg's John Fulane has details from Rome.
The ruling coalition is sticking to its 2019 budget deficit and growth targets, defying the European Commission in a letter to Brussels. Now the commissioners have to decide whether to kickstart a process which could end up punishing Italy with fines of several billion euros. In Rome, John Fulane, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. The UK and EU are a step closer to a Brexit deal. Now Prime Minister Theresa May will ask her cabinet to back the plan or quit. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo reports from 10 Downing Street.
Theresa May is going to have to convince everyone in this cabinet that this is the best deal she can possibly get. It's better than a no deal, and they have to really back her now. If it doesn't get cleared by the cabinet, I think we're back to square one, only time is really running out.
That cabinet meeting is set for 9 a.m. Wall Street time.
Well, here in the U.S., we get remarks from Fed Chair Jay Powell today. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has details.
The speech takes place at the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, and it'll be hosted by Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan. Powell is scheduled to discuss national and global economic issues. Omer Sharif is senior U.S. economist at Societe Generale.
I really expect Chair Powell is going to sort of stick to the gradual path that the Fed has been on. The bigger question is, as we get to 3%, as we get to neutral next year, is the Fed going to decide that they want to pause and see how the economy is unfolding, given all the rate hikes we've had to date or not? And we'll see whether or not he sort of expounds on that.
After his speech, Powell will be taking questions from the audience. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. And at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, the government issues its latest data on inflation. Economists forecast the consumer price index rose 0.3% in October. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has more.
The CPI tracks the cost of living. Data last week pointed to a flare-up in wholesale prices. October's producer price index posted the largest increase in 6 years amid White House tariffs on Chinese goods. If that pattern holds, higher costs could be passed on to American families. In September, the consumer price index barely budged amid a decline in energy and transport costs. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinny. And straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It is now 5:07 on Wall Street. Michael Barr has more of what's going on around the world, including palace intrigue at the White House. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. First Lady Melania Trump is demanding the ouster of National Security Advisor John Bolton's top deputy, Myra McCardle, as reports swirl about an imminent shakeup of President Trump's administration. Melania Trump's spokeswoman says McCardle, quote, no longer deserves the honor of serving in this White House. A person familiar with the matter says McCardle clashed with the First Lady's staff after threatening to withhold National Security Council resources during Melania Trump's trip to Africa last month, unless McCardle or another NSC official was included in her entourage. Multiple sources say President Trump is looking at possible replacements for Chief of Staff John Kelly and Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen. Officials in Northern California say the death toll continues to climb from the deadliest wildfire in state history. The Camp Fire has now claimed the lives of 48 people, most of them in the town of Paradise. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The worst death toll in the state's history. Governor Jerry Brown says resources are about tapped out.
Other states are providing resources. California is pretty well maxed out, and so we do need that help that we're getting. And we're very appreciative.
And President Trump has declared a federal state of emergency. In the northern part of the state, schools have been closed. Very unhealthy or unhealthy conditions are forecast to continue through the end of the week. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vice President Mike Pence is in Singapore for the ASEAN summit and met with Myanmar state consular, the equivalent position to Prime Minister Aung San Suu Kyi. While saying he'd like to hear about the country's progress, the vice president also chastised Myanmar for its human rights violations inflicted upon the Rohingya.
The violence and persecution by military and vigilantes that resulted in driving 700,000 Rohingya to Bangladesh is without excuse.
The nation's leading e-cigarette maker announced it's halting store sales of some flavors to deter use by kids. Juul's announcement comes ahead of an expected government crackdown on underage sales of e-cigarettes. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 5:09 is the time now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashow.
Nathan, it looked a whole lot worse. Monday night in Minnesota, the Nets leading scorer, Caris LeVert, took a bad fall. Looked like one of those gruesome, perhaps career-ending injuries. He was carted off, taken to the hospital. As it turns out, no broken bones, no surgery, and LeVert may actually return to the Nets later this season. Doesn't appear as if Carmelo Anthony, the longtime Knicks star, is going to return to the Houston Rockets after playing just 10 games. They sat him again last night as Houston won at Denver. His release said to be imminent. Still not known if Anthony is going to latch on to another team or if that's the end of his career. Hockey Devils back home from a 1-6 road trip. Beat Pittsburgh 4-2 with Taylor Hall in on all four. 2 goals, 2 assists. Islanders ended a 3-game losing streak 5-2 over Vancouver. Billed as the NFL game of the year Monday night. Rams and Chiefs, both teams 9-1. The game was to be played in Mexico City, but the field there deemed unplayable. They'll stay in the U.S. and play in Los Angeles. Le'Veon Bell won't play at all this season. His holdout in Pittsburgh will cost him $14.5 million. He hopes to make it up when he hits free agency. Top 10 unchanged in the college football playoff rankings. The playoff teams as of now, Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, and Notre Dame. And the Irish had the toughest test Saturday facing 12th-ranked Syracuse at Yankee Stadium. Syracuse coach Dino Babers unconcerned where the game is being played.
You know, when I grew up, we grew up playing on the front lawns of junior high schools and high schools, parks, played in the street, you know, with cars parked there. You know, if you get two really good teams that are motivated, they'll really play anywhere. So as long as it's not concrete and it's grass, I'm okay. I think the team will be all right.
There are actually games Saturday at both Yankee Stadium and Fenway Park, where Harvard will play Yale. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, thank you. In other sports news, if Canadians have their way, the Olympics won't be coming to their country. Voters in Calgary recommended their city abandon a bid to host the 2026 Winter Games as concerns about potential costs outweigh the prospect of an economic boost. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Sports brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are dropping, outpacing losses in Asia and U.S. futures as investors weigh the rout in oil prices, a mixed bag of data on China's economy, and the latest trade developments. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P futures are down 8 points this morning. Dow futures down 62. NASDAQ futures down 45. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 3.13%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.89%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.7% or 39 cents to $56.08 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.25% or $3.10 to $11.98.30 an ounce. The euro at $1.1269, the yen 113.88. This update brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. And we are watching for a report on consumer prices at 8:30 Wall Street time. Macy's and Cisco Systems among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. Good morning, Karen. First Lady Melania Trump is calling for Myra Ricardle, the top deputy to National Security Advisor John Bolton, to be fired. Sources say the feud stems from Mrs. Trump's first solo trip to Africa last month. Meanwhile, reports are swirling about an imminent shakeup of President Trump's administration. Thousands of firefighters are now streaming into California to help fight those wildfires that have been burning for days. In Thousand Oaks, firefighters are working alongside prison inmates who wear orange fire uniforms and do hard labor digging fire lines. Meanwhile, the death toll has climbed from the campfire in Northern California to 48. In sports, in the NHL, the Islanders and Devils won, along with the Capitals. In the NBA, the Warriors won. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter.
powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's talk a little bit more now about that rout in oil prices Karen mentioned. Stephen Schork joins us. He's president of the Schork Group. Thanks for your time this morning, Stephen. And looking at the price of Brent and West Texas Intermediate crude this morning, finally starting to see an uptick after 12, 13 straight sessions of losses. Has oil hit bottom, do you think?
No one can tell you that, Nathan.
Okay.
At this point, the old saying on Wall Street, this is a fallen dagger, and to step in to try and buy this market right now, it's not for the faint of heart. That is to say, trying to catch that fallen dagger. Pretty amazing stuff, Nathan, when you consider that the NYMEX has been trading WTI crude oil since the early 1980s. So we have well over 9,000 events, 9,000 closing prices in that time. And for the first time ever, we've closed down consecutively for 12 straight days. So clearly, fundamentals cannot move that fast, Nathan. So someone in this market is in a lot of trouble right now, hence why it's impossible now to say that we are at the bottom. From a fundamental standpoint, that is, say, cost of production standpoint, you could say, yes, we're at the bottom, but markets remain illogical longer than you can remain solvent. So pretty scary stuff right now.
Yeah, so you see more than just supply and demand driving this route in price. I mean, the International Energy Agency just last month was calling on producers to put out more. Now they're saying that they welcome the surplus.
Right. And who doesn't welcome the surplus, right? The IEA does. Consumers do. Producers do not. And when we look at the spread action down the forward curve in pricing, both for Brent crude oil on the ICE and WTI and the NYMEX, the shift into contango suggests that we're losing the bid to draw supplies down out of inventory. So this is a fundamentally bearish sign. It's a weak sign that perhaps surplus, we do have the surplus of oil over demand. And hence the risk that why OPEC is actually talking about cutting barrels. So when we look at also the buying action, during the rally from late August through September into the current sell-off, large speculators, proprietary traders, not managed money, but the other traders under the CFTC category have been increasing their length. And as of a week ago, they were sitting on approximately 35% of the open interest. The problem is open interest during the rally has shrunk by 10%. So there's a lack of liquidity in this market, and long prop traders are long a very large bullish slice of a bearish pie right now. So it could get a lot uglier even from this standpoint.
Yeah, and I mean, dollar strength certainly is having an impact on this as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. Very strong correlation depending on your year, depending on the type of the time of year. So there is usually an R squared correlation of about 75%, meaning that 75% of the move in oil could be traced to the move in the dollar. There is an inverse relationship given that the dollar is still the world's invoicing currency. So the strong rally in the dollar is certainly lending to the bearishness in not just the oil market, but a strong dollar is bearish for all commodities.
Yeah, and meanwhile, we're seeing natural gas futures spiking amid all this, going up right now. The level is at 418 and counting. What's driving that?
Nathan, thank you very much for bringing up that subject. No one really likes to talk about natural gas. I've been screaming about this since the summer that there is this bearish groupthink in this market that somehow record production is the answer to all. But what was never answered is the lack of inventory rebuilds this summer going into the season. So even though we have all this record production, a lot of that production has been spoken for. That is to say, demand has been keeping pace with production, but the bears up until about a month ago had been winning this argument. It never made sense. There is a lot more demand in this market than the bears wanted to admit, and now it's coming to fruition that we simply do not have enough inventory going into this winter, and now we're looking at a situation where the market is being made to pay now that we've got some cold heating demand, early heating demand, to start things off.
Stephen Schork, president of the Schork Group, thanks so much for your time this morning as we continue to track an unprecedented curve in the oil market. And looking at the prices right now, we are seeing them rise this morning. Brent crude up 1% or 71 cents at $66.18 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate trading on the NYMEX is up 24 cents or 0.4%, $55.93 a barrel for West Texas Intermediate. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good Wednesday morning. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the Israel Philharmonic with conductor Zubin Mehta and violinist Itzhak Perlman at Carnegie Hall for one performance only Sunday, February 3rd. For tickets, visit carnegiehall.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We are seeing stocks fall around the world as investors weigh the rout in oil prices and the latest trade developments.
As for oil, it is now higher after falling yesterday for a record 12th straight day. The recent rout has been impacting oil producers in Europe. And we get more from Bloomberg's Justina Lee in London.
Oil has shown no signs of bottoming out yet. OPEC is worried about demand falling, and the UK producers are down. You know, BP is down, or Shell is down, so it's really a bloodbath over there.
Thanks, Justina. And checking oil prices right now, NYMEX crude oil is up about 0.1%, up 5 cents to $55.74 a barrel. Brent is up 0.6% at $65.88.
The pound is pairing gains as traders await a UK cabinet meeting today to see if ministers will sign off on a Brexit deal.
UK inflation unexpectedly stayed at 2.4% in October as food, clothing, and transport prices declined. We get a report on U.S. consumer prices at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time.
China's economy showed tentative signs of stabilizing in October. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
Retail sales slowed with a gain of 8.6%. That was down from the September reading and below the consensus forecast, both of which were 9.2%. Also, new home sales rose at the slowest pace in 6 months. But on the other hand, industrial production gained a better than expected 5.9%, and fixed asset investment had a beat as well. Those readings suggest that government stimulus is finally working its way into the real economy. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. China's largest social media company, Tencent Holdings, has reported third quarter net income above analyst estimates.
Shares of Snap are down more than 4%. The Justice Department and SEC are looking into allegations Snap misled investors ahead of its initial public offering last year.
Shares of Tilray, which have surged more than 500% since its July IPO, fell 3% in extended trading. The Canadian cannabis producer reported a wider-than-estimated loss.
And Bloomberg News has learned the Trump administration will hold off for now on imposing new tariffs on automobile imports. The move comes as top officials weigh revisions to a report on the national security implications.
S&P futures are down about 4 points. Dow futures down 27. NASDAQ futures down about the same. DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury little change, 3.13% is the yield. The yield on the 2-year, 2.89%. And the euro, $1.1270. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here to tell us what else is going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Officials in Northern California say the death toll is rising from the deadly Camp Fire. The deadliest wildfire in state history has now claimed the lives of 48 people, most of them in the town of Paradise in Butte County. Sheriff Corey Honey says the remains of 6 more bodies were recovered yesterday.
We were trying to move tens of thousands of people out of an area very rapidly, with the fire coming very rapidly. No matter what your plan is to do that, no plan will ever work 100% when you're dealing with that much chaos.
The Camp Fire has burned more than 130,000 acres and destroyed more than 7,600 homes since it began last Thursday. Amid reports, President Trump is mulling another staff shakeup. His wife wants to fire someone, too. Bloomberg's Martin DeCarroll explains.
Myra Ricardle is the top deputy of National Security Advisor John Bolton. Sources tell Bloomberg she angered the First Lady by threatening to withhold security resources during Melania Trump's recent trip to Africa unless Ricardle or another NSC official was included in the entourage. Well, now in a public statement, the office of the First Lady says Ricardle no longer deserves the honor of serving in the White House. It's rare for First Ladies to publicly intervene in West Wing staffing decisions. In Washington, Martin DeCaro, Bloomberg Radio.
Democrats are in discussions about the best way to get the Treasury Department to hand over President Trump's tax returns. That's according to Richard Neal, the incoming chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. Representative Seth Moulton said he's 100% confident there are enough Democrats opposed to Nancy Pelosi's bid to be House Speaker to block her in an election on the House floor. Moulton, a Massachusetts Democrat, declined to say how many lawmakers would vote against Pelosi, but says we have enough. While Pelosi needs just a majority of Democrats to nominate her as their candidate for Speaker, when the caucus holds leadership elections on the 28th, she will need at least 218 Democrats' support on the floor, assuming all 435 members participate and all Republicans vote against her. And that means just a couple of dozen defections could imperil her candidacy. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stenshaw.
Nathan, members of the Brooklyn Nets admit there was crying in the locker room at halftime of Monday's game in Minnesota. The Nets' leading scorer, Caris LeVert, had just been carted off, taken to the hospital with a leg injury that looked very serious. As it turns out, it's a dislocated foot. He doesn't even need surgery, and LeVert could be back playing for the Nets later this season. Warriors last night beat Atlanta. They were without the injured Steph Curry and the suspended Draymond Green. The team sat Green down a game for his verbal altercation with teammate Kevin Durant during and after Monday's overtime loss to the Clippers. Hockey in Newark, the Devil's star led the way.
Jack will play this across. Here's Hall. Scores! Taylor Hall with a move on to Smith. And the Devils regain the lead.
MSG the call. Taylor Hall, 2 goals, 2 assists. Devils beat Pittsburgh 4-2. They've won 5 of the last 6 of the Penguins. Islanders in Brooklyn scored 3 times opening period and weren't done.
Brock Nelson is it around the back of the net for Eberle. In front, Kunar goes! Scores! Are ahead 4-2 for the moment.
Beat Vancouver 5-2. MSG the call there as well. College basketball, LIU's Raekwon Clark, 33 points. Game-winning shot with a second left to beat Fairfield 89-87. Iona went to New Mexico and lost 90-83. Easy win for Wagner and the Rutgers women. Career victory number 1,000 for Vivian Stringer. Will Jacob DeGrom win the National League Cy Young Award? We'll find out tonight. DeGrom is the favorite to beat out 3-time winner Max Scherzer. He'd be the first winner. With only 10 wins, Mets fans know the story. DeGrom was superb all season. They just never scored any runs for him. Managers of the year, Atlanta's Brian Snitker, Oakland's Bob Melvin. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. 5:37 now on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on what's ahead for the next 2 years of Donald Trump's presidency. Also in this week's issue, a closer look at what has led to the sell-off in tech stocks. Mike Regan wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
These tech stocks, especially, you know, the FANGs, they'd become what's known on Wall Street as a crowded trade. There was this sort of panicked exit from the trade. And I think it's important to sort of go back a step and explain how it became so crowded.
Read more about that and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street, time for the Tri-State Business Report. Good morning, Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Morning, Nathan. New York is paying about twice as much per job for one of the two new Amazon headquarters. Virginia governments will spend up to $796 million in exchange for 25,000 tech jobs. That works out to just under $32,000 per job, about half of the $61,000 New York will pay. New York-based Blue Apron will eliminate about 4% of its workforce. The meal kit maker is trying to make a profit. The company says the cuts will cost about $1.6 million in the fourth quarter, but save about $16 million in 2019. Blue Apron has lost about two-thirds of its market value this year. The Metropolitan Transportation Authority is buying a New York City landmark. The Subway Operators Finance Committee has approved the $35 million purchase of Grand Central Terminal, along with Metro North Railroad's Harlem Line and Hudson Line from Midtown Trackage Ventures. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thank you. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. So let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Oreo cookie maker Mondelez is the latest target by Greenpeace in its campaign to stop the destruction of rainforests for palm oil.
I'm Steve Potosk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, we're talking about Vanguard's customer service issues.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We follow a key cabinet meeting as Theresa May's draft deal on Brexit is put to the test.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting it looks like the Trump administration will hold off for now on imposing new tariffs on car imports.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're following for you, Disney CEO Bob Iger may have missed his shot at a $60 million bonus. It was tied to a five-year segment operating income at the world's largest entertainment company, and the numbers came up short. Still, the Disney board has the right to adjust the total, so Iger could get a chunk of the bonus. His contract already calls for him to get another $100 million of restricted stock. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Fairleigh Dickinson University, Silberman College of Business, offering an executive MBA and a blended Saturday MBA that combines online and on-campus classes. Visit fdugrad.org/radio.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are dropping this morning, outpacing losses in Asia and U.S. futures as investors weigh the rout in oil prices, a mixed bag of data on China's economy, and the latest trade developments. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 2 points, Dow futures down 10, NASDAQ futures down 24, the DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury, that'll change, yield 3.13%, the yield on the 2-year, 2.89%. NYMEX crude oil is up about 0.3% or 16 cents to $55.84 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% on $1.10 to $1,200.40 an ounce. The euro, $1.1268. The yen, 113.94. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, in Florida, the Palm Beach County's vote recount hit a bump in the road. The counting machines overheated and broke down, overburdened by the extra workload. Mechanics were flown in and the machines were repaired in short order, but it forced the recount of more than 170,000 votes. Myanmar leader Aung San Suu Kyi has rebuffed criticism over her government's treatment of its ethnic Rohingya Muslims. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence told Suu Kyi, "The violence that led Rohingya to flee for Bangladesh was without excuse." Pence also said the convictions of two Reuters journalists in Myanmar was deeply troubling. In sports, in the NHL, the Islanders and Devils won, along with the Capitals. In the NBA, the Warriors won. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's 5:48 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform that offers informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Jennifer Ryan joins us from our London bureau. She's Bloomberg Opinion editor. And Jen, as we continue to track the sell-off in the oil market, David Fickling is blaming the oil price collapse on cars. What's he saying?
Yeah, he says what we want to do is take a look at the gasoline futures market. It gives you a really good insight into the mindset of the world's drivers. So NYMEX futures are trading at a sustained discount to Brent for the first time since 2011, and there's a similar situation going on in Singapore. What this tells you is that consumers in emerging markets hit by 2018's rise in oil prices alongside the weakening currencies are at risk of going on a demand strike.
So what's the bigger problem here?
So even if you're seeing lower oil prices and cheaper pump prices in some parts of the world, the fact remains that the world has too much of the light crudes that are most suitable for producing gasoline and not enough of the heavier varieties that are better for things like diesel and jet fuel. So what the problem gets even worse is that it's not clear that this situation is going to resolve quickly. I mean, you can have as much of a backlog of gasoline stocks as you like in the Middle East, but Chinese car sales have been slumping. Electric vehicles are taking a growing share of the automotive pie. And it looks like even the buying of conventional passenger cars might well have peaked.
And on top of all that, there could be an even bigger issue for next year?
Yeah, so there are international rules that are going to be soon coming into force about the sulfur content in shipping fuel. It's an environmental rule, and the byproduct of this shift away from the heavier, more polluting fuel oil is the production of even more gasoline that the world doesn't really appear to want. So what this means is you've got to be quite careful about how you're going to read what cheaper pump prices means for the future for demand and people finally getting driving again. It might not be the same dynamic as it has been in years past.
All right. And taking another look at emerging markets, Shuli Ren with some insights for dividend investors. So how confident should we be that U.S. companies will continue to keep shelling out dividends, because they have been pretty generous recently?
They really have been. So since 2009, S&P 500 members have shelled out more than $8 trillion in dividends and buybacks. And that's one of the reasons why we've been seeing the longest bull run in history. So there's some investor skepticism that's really been building about how long this is going to last, because several of those trillions were funded by debt, and a net 33% of investors, according to a Bank of America Merrill Lynch survey, think that the payout ratio in the U.S. has got too high.
Okay, so what does Ren say is the answer?
She says it's time to take a look at emerging markets where the dividend yields are higher and the corporate balance sheets are cleaner. So Asia's offering the highest dividend yield differential to the U.S. in at least 5 years. And if you look broadly at that section of the world, you start to wonder, well, where should you put your money? And she says what you want to do is take a look at companies in emerging Asia, because over the next year, according to her Bloomberg proprietary model, they should be generating a dividend yield of almost 3.5%. And that compares to almost 2.5% for S&P 500 companies.
All right. Bloomberg opinion editor Jennifer Ryan joining us from our London bureau. You can read more about this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion. And on the Bloomberg terminal, customers can type in OPIN. Go, Karen.
Thanks, Nathan. It's 5:52 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
A proposal by the FDA would allow ethics boards, known as institutional review boards, to waive the requirement for researchers to obtain informed consent from participants in clinical studies. The boards could also alter the strict requirements for research involving human volunteers. U.S. multinationals could get answers soon on whether they can use a cross-border tax avoidance device known as a hybrid to lower their tax bill. And the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services says states will soon be able to apply for long-restricted Medicaid funding to cover inpatient mental health treatment.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal news. Let's look at how a Democratic House could impact Republican efforts to enact further tax cuts, plus what a split Congress means for the U.S. tax code. For more on this, Bloomberg's Peter Barnes speaks with Laura Davison, a tax reporter for Bloomberg News.
All right, Laura, on taxes, deal or no deal?
Well, you know, this is one of those issues where, Trump not being a typical Republican president is you could see him maybe joining forces with the Democrats. You know, the Democrats have said for many, many years that they don't think the corporate rate needs to be as low as, you know, Republicans want. They're looking more, you know, mid to high 20s. Now that they have control of the House, they can at least, start moving some legislation over there. It's highly unlikely that anything would get through the Senate with still in Republican control. Remember, this is their key legislative achievement. But this is an issue they're going to campaign on and say, look, if we tax corporations a little bit higher, they just got this massive tax cut. You know, let's tax them at 22-23%. We can give you individuals, families, voters, a bigger tax cut. So that's really what they're gearing up to do as they head into 2020.
And the president said just before the election he wanted a 10% tax cut for the middle class. I don't see how Democrats or Republicans in Congress resist that.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's a, you know, it's candy politically. The problem is you got to find a way to pay for it, or you have to get everyone on board. So that's really where the wheeling and dealing comes with. And that's where Democrats have said, well, if the president is serious about, you know, raising the corporate rate and doing something with the middle class, you know, maybe that's the place we could come together.
There is this idea of payback now that the Democrats are controlling the House. They could really tie up the president and Republicans on any changes in the tax code. What about that angle?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, Democrats are obviously very angry about this tax law, and they've realized that they have the public on their side. You know, polling has never really supported this. And you look at just sort of how voters feel about corporate taxes in general, and that they say, look, yeah, we think corporations should and large businesses should pay a little bit more. So they can start, you know, without much political consequence, and even if it never becomes law, but it's just an effort in the House, start raising those rates. This will be a common theme, I believe, as we head into a campaign season.
And that's Bloomberg News tax reporter Laura Davison speaking with Peter Barnes. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Nathan.
All right. Thank you, Karen. It's 5:56 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg ETF Report. It's brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. Challenge the status quo with ETFs that adapt monthly to an ever-changing world. Find out more at oppenheimerfunds.com/ETFs. Here's Bloomberg's Pim Fox.
Everybody loves their pets, and now ETF investors are going to get the chance to show that love. Here to tell us more, Eric Balchunas, ETF analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. Okay, this is about people spending money on their animals.
Yeah, and they do a lot of it. You know, look, when I saw this, I was like, are you kidding me, a pet ETF? Because, you know, we see a lot of products come out. But you dig into the fundamentals, and they are real. $70 billion a year spent on pets. More people have pets than children. And the growth, that sales growth, is up 30% from 5 years ago. So this is a strong fundamental story beneath what sounds like a cutesy name and a cutesy ticker.
I love the ticker, PAWZ, pause.
The question is, will these stocks shoot up? You know, if they can get catch a good performance streak, I think assets will roll in. But if they struggle and we see a bear market, it could be tough even for pet owners.
I can imagine investors getting thrown a bone. Sorry about that.
Well played.
Eric Balchunas, ETF analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. This has been the Bloomberg ETF Report. I'm Pim Fox.
All right, Pim, thank you. S&P futures, little change now. Dow futures are up 7 and NASDAQ futures down 17. The 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd. Yield 3.13%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.88%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% or 11 cents to $55.80 a barrel. And COMEX gold is little change, down 60 cents to $1,200.70 an ounce. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.